Oh, no. You didn't bring two? You didn't bring a spare this time?
I did not bring a spare. Sorry.
You have a minute. No, I don't have a minute.
I might have had a minute, except Drew just went, oh, no, we're starting anyway.
Brutal.
The guy doesn't have enough beer. Fine.
No, he's trying to help you. He doesn't want you to run out of beer, so he had to start the show.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Because you were
already drinking. That's true.
Yep. Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. It's Happy Hour Friday, or as we like to call it, Economics on Tap. And
yes,
am I in the mood?
Yes.
In the mood.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to pick up where we left off yesterday, I actually had a beer last night. I was like, you know what? It just, that whole false discipline thing of just, I'm only drinking on Fridays and Saturdays. That's just bullshit.
Aww.
So,
I mean, you know, look.
I know.
I applaud you either way.
There you go. All right. We have a live stream up and running. It's on YouTube. If you're there, thank you. We appreciate that. We'll be doing, as usual, the news fix. We'll do a little Make Me Smile and then the new half full, half empty thing. We were chit-chatting a little before we actually turned the microphones on, and Drew so rudely interrupted my beer run. But you, Ms. Wood, are drinking wine this afternoon?
I am having wine this afternoon because, as I mentioned yesterday, I have a wine advent calendar that I have to get through, which is a case of, or 24 half bottles of wine. So I had to chill one yesterday. I'm behind by a day. Oh, my God. I'm stressing. So I'm having a Ciel Bleu d'Aquitaine Sauvignon Blanc, and I'm having it in my special mug that I just got like 1 hour ago from Marketplace. Huh? This is one of our new fundraising schwagadoodles. We'll talk about this more later, but it's keeping my wine nice and cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Same here. I'm having a beer. I'm having a beer. Stone Never Ending Haze IPA. Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. Okay. So let's see. I will go first. Once again, this podcast becomes an ode to the perspicacity of one Ms. Molly Wood. We talked earlier this week about how on the ball you were about saying that this pandemic was going to be a big, bad thing that was going to hurt us all, like in January, like before anybody was saying this. And then like a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the Pew survey on vaccines and who wanted them and who didn't. And the recent data showing only 51% of Americans were going to take a vaccine when it was ready. And this was in September. And look, back then and kind of now, deeply politicized, it's been going very fast, people are worried, and I get that. New Pew survey out with data from like mid-November-ish, we're up to 60% would be willing to take a get the vaccine if and when it's ready. And I recalled, as I was looking for news items today, I recalled you saying back when I brought the 51% number in, you said, you know what? As things get worse, people are going to want vaccines, and I predict that number is going to go up. So here we are. I'm not worthy.
Which is awesome.
There we go.
But me and the whole YouTube chat, by the way, we had to stop listening for a second to be like, perspicacity, is that how you say that and everything? And then we had talked about how to spell it, and good one, man.
That's funny.
I am glad to see it, and I hope it only increases. Yeah. And I actually have had open in a tab for days now a pretty great tweet that I keep meaning to bring to the show, and then there are other things I want to bring. But it's a woman who is a health science and health journalist and says, I've been reporting on vaccines and vax hesitancy for 10 years, my specialty since I began science journalism. And my plea to all journalists is stop focusing on the hesitancy. It's not the issue. Focus on logistics and equity, which I thought was so interesting because it was like focus on getting it to people equally or at the right pace, and almost like ignore this whole subplot about people saying that they're not going to take it. Because for one thing, it's a thing that you can easily say when someone calls you, are you going to take a vaccine? And you're like, I'm full of partisan fervor and by God, no. And then the vaccine is at your door and you're like, I would like to, how can I jump the New York Times line to get my vaccine sooner?
Right.
And so I continue to believe that those numbers will only go up because, you know, what is it? Foxhole. There's something about foxhole buddies. There's no enemies in the,
atheists in a foxhole.
No atheists in a foxhole. Thank you.
Yeah.
So
two things about what that woman said, the whole logistics thing. And Biden said this today in his press conference, and I completely agree, and there's a story to be done, excuse me. the real challenge that is developing with this vaccine is not the huge containers of carbon dioxide that contain 1,000 vials and they're going to get them on airplanes and, you know, to hospitals and big places with big freezers. It's the last mile, much as it is in internet service, right? It's the last mile. It's getting it from all those central places to my Rite Aid so that we can go out and get a shot when my 268 millionth place in line finally comes due, you know? right? So that's the one thing. Yep. The other thing, right? I mean, come on. The other thing, though, that I think is really important, and Sam Fields did a piece on this, touching on this on Marketplace this afternoon, about the equity issues involved. Turns out only 40% of Black Americans say they would take a vaccine from the government right now. And look, that totally makes sense with Tuskegee and the inequity and all of that jazz. But the bottom line is we all need to get this doggone vaccine. So it's not just you and me saying, yes, that'd be great. It's everybody. And I think that and I think that matters, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think, well, hey, if we're at 60%, that's great. Because turns out we only need 70% of the population to be to have antibodies either as a result of vaccination or contracting the actual virus. And at the rate the virus is going, you only need 60% of people to get the shot. That's dark. That was a dark thing to comment.
Very quick note from Christopher Grau in the chat. Very quick note from Christopher Grau. My atheist former Marine friend likes to tell me that when he was in a foxhole, he was in fact an atheist in a foxhole. That's it.
That's what he says now. But we weren't there, so we cannot confirm.
Yeah, maybe.
So I have been interested in, and by interested in, I mean like sideshow entertained nonstop by by lawyer Twitter lately and watching.
Oh my goodness, it's so good.
Law Twitter is amazing, right? Like every one of these hearings about the ballots and the certification and the is there or isn't there fraud. I tweeted this and I remain of the opinion that these things should be broadcast live. Like, forget press conferences. Like, they are profoundly newsworthy in the national interest and freaking awesome TV. Every time you see, like, a competent judge or lawyer go after the, I'm sorry, but the team of people that the Trump administration seems to be sending in, like, a blank page was filed, a motion for injunction was filed without a request for a hearing. It's phenomenal to watch. But all of the entertainment that I have been deriving from this, because it is like every time it's like an episode of Law and Order and judges are so awesome and scary, has has caused me to kind of mask the very real issue that one of my lawyer friends actually was texting me about yesterday. And she is just, as a lawyer, she is like infuriated. She's like, we have rules against this.
Yeah.
We have rules of against bringing lawsuits that are frivolous. Against doing your job poorly and doing it so poorly that you waste people's time and money.
Yep.
And she was like, there has to come a point where these lawyers are disbarred. It's professional misconduct, according to the bar, to, quote, engage in conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation, or to engage in conduct that is prejudicial to the administration of justice. I'm reading this from this Washington Post opinion piece that she sent me immediately after she sent me this big text rant and was like, oh, look, 25 former D.C. bar presidents, so presidents of the D.C. bar, said lawyers should not be complicit in Trump's attack on democracy. And I think that when you see, when all of this is wrapped up, you are really going to start to see some professional blowback on the people who have perpetrated these lawsuits.
Okay. I want to believe that. But we have seen so far zero professional blowback on anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody, right?
Yep.
And I just, I don't see it happening, right? Because you can see that whatever bar she belongs to, that state's bar will move to disbar Sidney Powell, right? One of the absolute peak liars and dissemblers of the Trump campaign to get elections overturned. You can see her state's bar association moving to disbar her and it becoming a huge drawn out political whatever. And the bar association going, you know what? I got things to run, man. It's not worth it.
Yeah, right? It's hard to say.
And that, frankly,
I wonder too.
Is disheartening.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So there we go.
What do you think? Little smileys.
Little smileys. Little smileys. Yeah, that's for sure. Little smileys. All right, I went first with the news. You get to go first with a smile.
I have to all credit to Kimberly Adams because I did not have one today because I was just like with my hair on fire trying to, as those of you on the YouTube studio will see, everything that is happening in the background of my studio that looks good happened in the last 20 minutes, basically. All the boxes got put away last night, literally up to like 5, I'm like super sweaty. So anyway, I sat down and I was like, I don't know if it'll make me smile. But Kimberly Adams did, and it's about a doggo. And it's a Washington Post piece about a dog that had been lost missing for weeks, and then it wandered into a Walmart and found its person.
No, really?
Which is like the best thing ever, yes.
Wow.
Literally, it was just like, I guess I'm going to go to this Walmart and see if there's any food. And found her person. It's a cry. It's a weepa. That's my dog impression.
Good one.
Yeah.
Good
one. And it's the cutest dog ever. It's just so cute. It's just so sweet.
My favorite dog ever is the one in Up. My name is George, and I will be your dog. You will be my person. My name is George.
Oh,
I love that one. I love that one. And I also desperately need a dog voice translator thing like they have in the movie. Sorry.
Oh, I know, yeah. Totally.
Mm-hmm. Other things I need. Okay. Mine is super quick because
we got
to do half full, half empty. Mine is a tweet from Greg Bluestein of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a moment in a speech by Mike Pence down in Florida. No, Georgia. Campaigning in Savannah for the two Republican senators up for re-election, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler.
Kelly Loeffler.
So, as you know, the aforementioned Sidney Powell and some other attorneys have been saying, Georgia, it's all a fraud. Don't vote. Don't vote until you can be guaranteed your election is secure. And, of course, elections are secure. They are lying. But Pence gets off the plane and says, and this is a quote, I actually hear some people saying, just don't vote. And then he goes on, my fellow Americans, if you don't vote, they win. And that made me laugh because I'm like, really? You think maybe somebody ought to have thought of that before you cut these people loose to do whatever they're doing?
I mean, honestly, everything about that is a reap what you
banana
sow
pants.
Story.
Banana pants. Banana
it's pants. Banana pants.
Banana
it pants. Is banana pants. Oh, the YouTube chat is a little upset because they said that it is so pure, the dog story, that in the words of Catherine, it made her ugly cry, which is kind of true.
There you go.
When you just need some there goodness. Oh, amazing. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
What do we got? I'm so excited. I have not been here in like 3 weeks. This is huge for me.
We need, by the way, for those producers who are listening, we need a half full, half empty sting. So just get to work on that. New thing on Fridays. Half full, half empty. We run through some topics. We tell you what our predictions are and how we're feeling about all of them. Boom.
What happens now? Now we go.
What happens now is you read that little line.
Okay, I got it.
MW,
our engineer, Drew Jostad, will once again read us the topics. He's going to read the top. Well, I ran away to make a sting. No, I'm just kidding. Drew will read us the topics, and then we should mention that we have not seen them. So it's going to be a surprise, and then we have to say if we're half full or half empty. Okay, take it away, Drew. You got this. Go.
Are you half full or half empty on Slack?
Half empty. I'm so done with Slack. It's a curse.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm still half full on it because honestly, nobody could do their jobs without it. What I was surprised to discover is that somebody had to spend that many billions of dollars on Slack because Microsoft Teams apparently is so scary. So what I'm really half full on is Microsoft Teams because who knew? People use that.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of want to try it.
Salesforce is buying Slack for $27 billion. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Yep.
Anyway, okay. All right.
Moving on.
Cool. Drew, what's next?
Monoliths. Are you half full or half empty?
Oh, you know? Huh.
Love this. Huh. If you don't know, while Kai thinks about it, if you have not been following, this weird steel monolith keeps showing up and then abruptly disappearing in, like, nature. Half full or half empty? I'm half empty. I'm just going to jump in here. I am half empty, and I laughed so hard at a tweet that was basically like, everyone has moved on from the, oh my God, it's a monolith and it's definitely aliens and now is the time because 2022. Like, what are you trying to sell me? Just come out with it.
Yeah.
I don't have time for this.
Yeah. I think that's exactly
so
right.
I'm half empty because I think it's just
well.
a It's marketing. Come Same. On.
Same. It will inevitably turn out to be some horrible marketing thing. Yes. Half empty. Go.
Womp, womp, womp.
Movie theaters.
Oh, I kind of miss them. I kind of miss them. But I don't know that they're coming back the way we want them to come back. So I'm going to say half empty.
So I'm half full that movie theaters will eventually have a bit of a reboot with the kind of cool consumer-friendly innovations that, these many people have asked for a really long time. I think we're going to go into a period where everybody's like, yay, I get to watch all my stuff at home and I totally want to. And then pretty soon we're like, this is not fun. I want to hang out with my friends and clap along with them. And then movie theaters will be like, great, we put in even more comfy seats and even bigger bars and legit good food. And everybody will all of a sudden want to go. So long term, half full.
I can't go there. Still half empty. Proceed.
Okay, keep going. What's next?
All right, you half full or half empty on the $908 billion relief package.
Oh, very good question.
Are
we talking, all right, Drew, you need to interpolate here for a minute here. Are we talking the package happening or the package itself? Discuss. And Drew's like, no, man, my contract.
I know, he's like, I'm the engineer and I don't have to do that. Well, I guess we could choose here. We could choose at this point.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm half full on, I have to say I'm half full on it happening. Because I think that at some point, there are no more excuses. There are none. Like, you either do your job or you lose your job. I don't know what it takes for people to lose their jobs in Congress anymore, but like, we're to that point.
Yeah.
I'm half full on it getting done. I'm half empty on it being enough.
That's exactly right. What Molly Wood said. That's going to be in my tombstone. What Molly Wood said.
Easy.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Do we have another one or is
last
that
last one is BTS.
BTS. I don't know what BTS means.
BTS the band? That is awesome. You know,
I'm half ignorant. I don't even know.
I'm terrified because after Tesla people and Bitcoin people, actually, you know what? The K-pop stans beat them all. I am half full on BTS because I'm too scared to say otherwise. But also, they seem to be a legitimately talented band, and K-pop is here to stay.
Okay. Once again, my answer is what Molly Wood said. How'd your podcast go today, Kai? Well, I just agreed with everything Molly said, and it was fine.
I'm big on Blackpink. Like, I'm just saying, if I had to pick one, I'm more Blackpink than BTS, but I understand. You got to respect the originals.
Now I'm going to have to go fire up my Spotify and figure that out. All right, anyway.
Exactly. That is it for half full, half empty. Now for something I'm definitely half full about, and that is all of you. That is all of you who just keep supporting our show, supporting our podcast, supporting all the shows we do at marketplace.org/givesmart. We are so grateful. We are a journalism nonprofit. We think that that gives us such a great opportunity to do legitimately public service journalism without the perverse incentives that clicks can bring. But also we depend on you. So thanks for showing up.
And when you do show up, monetarily, that is, we got some stuff for you. We got some good stuff. So first of all, as Molly gave the sneak preview of earlier, you can tell I use this to, well, so here's the backstory.
Have a liquid essence. I gotta go over to Zoom, see what you're doing.
Okay.
Oh, you put pencils in it. How clever.
Liquid essence, there you go. So here's the truth, and nobody tells Stephanie Patterson or the brand people up at the parent company. I know this is jingling around. I keep this on my workbench to keep pencils and stuff in, but you see that logo right there?
Yeah.
I really hate that logo. I loathe it. I really hate it. And so I keep this mug in my garage because I don't want to bring it into the house. I know. I'm just saying.
This is
huge. I know.
Wow.
I'm sorry. But anyway, but if you like it, you can have it for $5 a month. Right?
And look, legitimately honestly, my favorite episode we've
honestly,
ever done.
This is pretty good, right? Liquid assets, it's actually pretty funny. It's actually
She's got
pretty
the, Stephanie's
so
got the puns.
Maybe I've got bad taste in swag.
I'm
swag?
Going to put this swag. Mask on anyway. So you cannot see
you
my reaction because
so
I am
so
making a shock
so we've
face.
Also got masks. See?
And they fit over your headphones.
Too. I know. Do they
and
really?
They say,
no, they don't even fit
we've got you covered.
Who's doing this? Yeah, I like this.
Because we cover all the stories.
Marketplace
has me covered. I love these. These are actually really nice. And they even have
the
nose.
Really I know.
Wire.
That's the key thing, right? Let me just tell you, by the way, for those of us endowed with large
proboscises. And a filter pocket.
Right?
Proboscises.
I mean, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think this whole mask thing is biased against against people with big noses. I'm just saying.
And a filter pocket.
What? Double liner.
Double liner and a pocket to put a filter in. These are legit. These are great masks. They're two layers, but with a filter pocket. And they're great. And all of that is available now to those of you who don't. I love doing this because it's just so I'm new. I still feel like a public radio baby. It's been 5 years and I'm like, I'm so new. It can be yours for just $5 a month. Marketplace.org/givesmart.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Man. Apparently, anyway, the mask is our most popular gift this drive, which is also a good sign about you smart, smart listeners.
Which totally makes sense. So either one of them or both, take your pick. Head on over to marketplace.org/givesmart. It does, honestly, the support we get from all y'all, whether it's pumpkin spice or what have you, makes my day every single time I think about it. And it's awesome.
It really does. It's awesome. It's amazing. The mask, by the way, and I feel like this is important, I should say, is a bonus gift. You can get it with any size donation, but only through the end of the month. So hurry up. That's it. That's all we got for real. Next week, we're going to do a deep dive actually on the coronavirus vaccines, why generally there is little investment in vaccine development and why the technology of these particular vaccines, two of the three, is so super interesting and crazy. It's going to be really fun.
For sure. As always, questions, comments, makemesmart@marketplace.org. If, by the way, you're from the parent company and you're hearing me talk about our logo, sorry. Not sorry.
We learned so much. So much just now. I wonder how it looks like mountains. It's kind of got like a retro 80s. Okay. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Melissa Cabrera, who is wondering whether she and our entire team are about to be canned. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Stephen Pion is new to the credits and an absolute delight as a human being. And Ben Hethcote are our video producers. Ethan Peretz is our video intern, the greatest. And Erica Phillips, also the greatest, writes our newsletter and Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
Drew Jostad, engineer today, also did the half full, half empty thing for us, although did not come back when we asked him to clarify the question. I'm just saying. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez did our theme music. Yeah, Ben was sitting down there in the control room in LA going,
No, thank you.
Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez got the theme music. Donna Tam is the senior producer. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. We have talked beyond the music once again.
We just can't stop. Can't stop, won't stop, because it's Friday.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.